Good morning, Rabbi Isai. We're carrying on with a two-part series, which was originally Thursday, Erev Shavuos, and now is the continuation. We discussed then, just to say that we were talking then, saying things that hadn't otherwise been said over at Torah Way, and one of the things was regarding the date specifically, and I had mentioned that Rabbi Kush, do you ever remember Diane Fisher? Yeah. Diane Fisher of the Federation, he came originally to Ainsworth Road Shul, he was a Federation Rav there, and he used to come, I remember he came into Shul. Because there was a machlokus over what Mimachros HaShabbos means, whether it means Sunday, according to the Sadducees. And I had said that when he came into Shul, I remember he would say to people on Shavuos, on Mimachros HaShabbos, even though it was Yom Tov, he would actually wish people ostensibly good Shabbos. Interestingly, Michael Joshua, who was here and afterwards came up, who's making a chasen today, with Mazel Tov in Manchester. So Michael Joshua said that he remembers his grandfather, who was a neighbour of Diane Fisher, we're talking about many years ago. Michael Joshua, who's making a chasen day, he had a grandfather who was a neighbour of Diane Fisher. And he said, yeah, in Ainsworth Road, and he said exactly the same. So now I'm going to switch to another concept, the idea of what was the date of Shavuos. We said it, I used the three-part Sefer of Hamodim Halacha by Rabbi Zevin, which is excellent, and it discusses it. Could it be he mentioned the Gemara, Rabbi Shemaiah said it could be the 5th, the 6th or the 7th, according to the number of days in the month that there were there. Was it on the 5th, was it on the 6th, or was it on the 7th? If there were 30 days on each of the 2 months, then it could have been. So the question is now today slightly different. The question is, what is the status of the 7th of Sivan, which we keep as the second day of Yom Tov? Does it have the same status, the same halachic status, as a second day Yom Tov that we would have regarding Pesach and regarding Sukkos? So then there was a discussion, and this goes back over 150 years. It's been written up in Shivas Einayim, which is Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. It was printed in 1864. And it relates to somebody who was in the town of Brod. There was a gentleman who was married, but unfortunately did not have children. And even more unfortunately, he was terminally ill in the city of Brod on second day Yom Tov on the 7th. And the question was, could they actually write a Tikkunus Aguna for his wife, who he had a brother in Rome, which was then a very long way away, and therefore problems with Yivam and with Chalitza, could he then write a get on second day Yom Tov? To be continued.
Started at Torah Way in Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Sivan, 26th of May, Rabbi Daniel Kirschlieter, senior lecturer Shema Bani, Nozer, a flavor of its own. This week's Torah has been sponsored by OCK Chartered Surveyors. Our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben Rabbi Shimon, the whole Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zecharono Livracha.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you once again for giving me the opportunity to begin the day in such an energized way. You know, we just left Shavuos. What an extraordinary energy, I'm sure, Bezos Hashem, all of you enjoyed. And then you have a Parsha, which Parshas Nosai, there's a lot of work to be done on Parshas Nosai. There's so many different inyonim, so many hundreds of...
Baruch
Hashem. So I'd like to talk about certain aspects of Nozir, and I have to just mention, this is based on a shir from Rav Shmuel Greenberg, and I came across it first. It was actually from 2015. So sometimes you've got to let ideas sit with you for a little bit and go on a journey with you. And I've added a few aspects to it, but it's basic on an idea from him, a musmach of Moshe Feinstein. So we know that the union of a nozir is that a person takes upon themselves certain obligations as a result. Well, the way that Rashi puts it in Gemara Sota is that he saw the Sota Bekilkolos. So he saw the Sota who was unfortunately humiliated as a result of her own immoral behavior. Hair coverings taken off, her clothes are ripped. It's various humiliating parts of the whole process. And he saw the Sota Bekilkolos, and as a result of that, he takes on certain vows. Because he realizes and appreciates that the root of her problem may well have been the fact that she there was kalas rosh, which preempted the niyuf, which was as a result of the drinking, and therefore he takes upon himself certain obligations and doesn't drink, doesn't cut his hair, etc., etc. The Gemara at the beginning of Sota uses this to talk about the juxtapositions both of the Parshas, and also in Shas, about which Masechtas precede which and why. Now, the interesting thing is that when we just stop for a little bit and consider this concept, Kol Haroi Sota B'Kil Kolosoi, Yaze Atzma Min Ayayin, how many people saw the Sota B'Kil Kolosoi? Was this, he was the only person in the Azari, the only person who saw it? Or was it possible that a lot of people saw it, they just didn't become a nozir? I don't know if you ever thought about this. There could have been hundreds, maybe thousands of people who could have been impacted by it, but we don't know that they all became nazirim, maybe 10, maybe 50, maybe what. I don't know how many became not. But this individual took him, that's point number one, which we have to consider. The second point, which we're not going to go into too much detail today, but no less be aware of, is the fact that he saw a woman being humiliated because of the claims of her disrepute, what's that got to do with him growing his hair as well?
Who
in other words,
he?
The nozir.
Who was she?
The woman was humiliated. Yeah. The nozir saw her being humiliated.
Yeah.
But our question is, lots of people saw her, but why specifically this individual decides to take on the nozirus? Okay, and what's the connection with haircuts? Now, one of the interesting points about this, just by way of introduction, is I'm going to speak about certain aspects of Hilchos Issa V'Heta today. And just before I do so, I'm going to mention to you that having Zohar to learn Issa V'Heta, there's some very interesting places where we learn Makoros of certain halachas. So, for example, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that the halacha of Tam Ke'ika is, interesting enough, learnt from the Inyan of Nosu. What's Tam Ke'ika? Tam Ke'ika means that this an important part of your dish because it impacts so heavily on the entire dish, even though the actual amount of quantity of this important part is insignificant, but it makes a dramatic difference. And also, it may even be that the actual object which gives off the flavoring is no longer there. Yet, the flavor remains after the object's left, and as a result of that, there are certain halachas appertaining to a concept called Tam Ke'ika. And interesting enough, they learn that concept, the Gemara Pesachim learns it out from a pasuk in this week's Sedra, because it talks about the fact that a nozir takes upon himself not to drink various things, yayin v'shecha yazeh, but it also goes into the detail about the grapes and about the pips, etc. And then it says, v'chol mishras anovim, which means if you were to soak grapes, I'm not going to eat these grapes, chas v'sham, I'm not going to eat these grapes, I'm not going to have the inside, the outside, I don't know why. But you soak the grapes, you then remove the grapes from the liquid, and you've got this coloured liquid which has got this sort of winey look about it, but there's no grapes there. The Gemara learns out from the concept of Chol Mishras Anovim, yeah, but the grapes are the reason why It tastes that way. It looks that way. And even though the grapes aren't there now, nevertheless, it impacted on the liquid. And that's the concept the Gemara discusses. Again, in Psochem, I'm just interested in introducing it to you. A concept called Tam Ke'ika. Tam Ke'ika. Okay? Has enormous halachic ramifications in all sorts of areas. Learn Issa V'Hete Mitz Hashem, and you can learn and understand and appreciate how it impacts on all different situations. That's one halacha that we learn from the Nozeh. A second one is a really complicated one, and that's based on a Gemara in Chulin, I think it is. Let me just have a quick look. And there the Gemara is talking about a concept called Chulin Sadiches. We're not there yet. The Gemara talks about a concept called bottle b'shishim. Bottle b'shishim, which everybody's quite aware of the concepts. You had Erev Shabbos, somebody was making a beautiful chulant, and a drop of milk fell into the chulant, and you do quick evaluations, and you work out more than 60 times the milk, then the milk is null and void. And interesting to see where the makor of this, and it's actually bought from a very complicated area at the very end of the Nozeh, where the Nozeh starts the process of his kapara. He starts the process of now re-entering into society, and he has to bring various korbanos, etc., etc. Veloka hakaren es hazoraya b'sheila, and the ram which is bought, having been prepared and cooked together, then the kohen will take uniquely, it's a unique thing beyond the normal gifts given to the Kohen will take a foreleg, and which is cooked, and he'll do a whole process of tanufa, etc., etc. On that point, the Gemara points out, it's a bit problematic over here, because this small little partial leg of this ram was cooked together with other foods, and this was something which has got a special sanctity because it's been given to the Kohanim, but it's been cooked with things which are, can the public eat things which have got the sanctity of the Kohanim mixed in with it or not? And the Gemara discusses the whole question over here of bottle b'shishim, makes a very complicated cheshbon, which works out that actually this tiny bit of foreleg is only at 160 if you include the meat and the bones and everything together. You'll see it for more details should you wish to. It's an inyan of bottle b'shishim. It's just fascinating that in the midst of our inyan of Nozeh that we're going to be relating this Shabbos and we're talking about today, you see two fascinating halachas. Tam ke'ika, at the very beginning of the process, he can't drink this coloured water, even though the grapes aren't there. And bottle b'shishim, that this hazorea b'shela, this cooked foreleg, doesn't apparently create any problems because it's bottle b'shishim. Interesting, interesting. Now, I'm just going to mention here, just by the way, before we go into some interesting drush, which we're going on a journey of, that a drush in Issa V'Heta is obviously, just to make it sure, this is a drush. Okay, I'm not giving you a pshat and a drush. I remember when I was zoicha to learn Issa V'Heta, very often you would hear terms which would pass out from the Rabbeim when they were discussing, you know, all different things. So, for example, I remember one of the rabbis was talking about whether Rabbonim, when they go out, they were talking about Kiruv Rechokim and teaching people who don't have knowledge and wisdom, whether it's healthy for them to be doing this or not. And we were learning at the time, interesting, a halach of Melicha. And in the Inyan of Melicha, it's talking about the following, that whilst the animal is being salted, whilst the animal being salted and the blood is coming out, it creates a certain mogging, it creates a certain shield which prevents anything negative coming into the animal. Ide de torid liflot lo bola. While it's pushing out, it's unable to be bola. That's one of the powers of melicha. We actually, those who do the daf, I think in daf ches, it was talking about a similar concept where because it's so involved in the energy of being liflot, lo bola. I remember the Rav saying to us, even though we're learning Melicha, this is an interesting rule for Rabbonim as well. I did the Torah Liflot, while you're giving out and you're giving out and you're giving out in your life, Mitzah Shem Lo Bola, you won't be able to take anything from the outside and you won't become impacted on it. Interesting, very nice. Very beautiful thought. I also remember another gentleman who was saying to the Rav, and this was a a good Lithuanian Rav who was schooled under Rebbe Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Mir Yeshiva. And the guy says to him, Rebbe, can you tell me a little bit about the Kabbalistic insights into Melicha? Okay, fine, you want to tell me the Kabbalistic insights into Melicha? Yes, tell me about Kabbalah and Melicha. And the Rav looked at him and says, yeah, we learn Kabbalah kach polta. The way it comes in, it's going to go out. He says, I'm telling you, if you haven't learned Shas and Poskim, Ian, then learning Kabbalah is not a sensible thing, because what will happen is Kabbalah kach polta. Whatever you learn will go in, but it will come out straight away. So when you're learning in Yoni Issa Veheta, there's so many different interesting ideas and different loshonas, but I'm going to attempt to take you on a very unusual journey, as I said, which I first heard from Shmuel Greenberg. And he says there's this concept. What does it mean, tam ke'ika? Tam ke'ika is, it could well be that in life a lot of people see the same thing, but some people are more taken by it, and some people, unfortunately, may well be more drawn towards it. You can ask yourself the question, if a person was aware that a soita was about to go through this whole journey, and she's going to have to go through this kilkul, this embarrassment, this horrendous reality based on what she's done, does he really need to come along and have a look? Or why was he watching like that? Okay, this is not Nesei Pshat, it's an interesting drush. Why was he looking like that? So he points out a very interesting idea that unfortunately in life, often things we're drawn to look at may give us a little insight into certain areas that we have some fascination with, and as a result of having some fascination with, could be a little bit dangerous for us as well. Could be a little bit dangerous. In fact, we mentioned a little bit earlier about hair. You'll see, very interesting enough, that throughout Nach and Shas as well, hair is considered a very interesting part of our anatomy. Animals have fur to keep them warm, right? Hair, for particularly for women, but men as well, is you're giving a certain image of yourself to the way, right? A little image of yourself, the way you have your hair. Obviously, as we get a little bit older, the image changes as the hair loss grows a little bit, but that's the reality, it's fine, everything's fine. But you see, fascinating, Yosef HaTzadik, according to many, like he got into certain aspects of trouble because he was a certain person who was Masal Samasal. He was doing his hair the whole time. And of course, the famous Gemara, which speaks about the individual who saw his reflection and saw the beauty of incredible good looks. Interesting. And therefore, you can understand how hair is an important part of being a Nozir. Why? Because it's going to be part of a journey of tikkun, a journey of correction that we all have to go through, as we're going to see in just a few minutes. We say in the Shema, famously, V'losasuru achrei levavachem v'achrei einechem. In Parsha Shlach, we learn about the halachas of tzitzis, and we say, V'losasuru achrei levavachem v'achrei einechem. And Rashi famously tells us there, yeah, because what happens is your eyes, they're like spies. The eyes see, the heart gets very excited, and then the body does. Yeah, I think everybody can relate to and understand that, Rashi. The eyes see, the heart desires, the body does. The problem is that the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Lo sasurachi levavachem v'achrei nechem. First it mentions the heart, and then at the eyes. Rashi teaches it as the eyes see, the heart desires. But the Pasuk says, the heart sees, and then the eyes desire. And famously, Chazal speaking about it, many of the Forshim pick up on it, and they say like this, your eyes see what your heart wants your eyes to see. Your eyes see what your heart wants your eyes to see. So technically speaking, medically speaking, it would look like your eyes saw that motivated you to get excited about the extra cheesecake, even though it's post-Shavuos. And then you went in and you ate it. That's technically how it looks. But actually, the reality is the reason why you saw the cheesecake is unfortunately because you have a natia towards cheesecakes. And that's why you noticed it. I remember many years ago going shopping with my daughters to Brent Cross, and suddenly they disappeared into a shoe shop because they'd seen shoes in the window to match the outfits. The interesting thing is I didn't notice the shoes. I didn't even notice the shoe shop. But Chazal say because they were interested in finding shoes, they're already on the lookout for shoes, and therefore I'm more interested in the shoes, and therefore I'm unlikely to notice it. But the nature of a human being is such that human beings are drawn to those things which they themselves have a fascination with. And with that as well, I think it's worth us considering in so many different areas of our lives, what areas that unfortunately we ourselves are drawn to and what areas that we need work being done. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Netzavim, in describing the dangers of Avodah Zorah, he says a very interesting thing. Pen yesh b'chem isho isho or mishpocho shevet, we're worried that maybe there's an individual or maybe there's a male or female or family or group who could begin a process of following after Cholila v'chas Avodah Zorah. And the language which is used here is pen yesh b'chem sheresh pore rosh v'ap. There's a sheresh, there's something here. Very difficult to describe it, but there's something here and we're not quite sure where this is going to lead to. And the first idea in the concept of tam ki'ika is, the question is, there may not be any mamoshes there, but there's something there which has left its impact, and that impact is unfortunately choshev enough that the Torah says you can't drink that. You can't drink that. Are you a noz against wine? Are you a noz against grapes and all those things? There's something there. There's something there, and the tam can unfortunately become ki'ika. And if your heart desires it and your heart wants it, we're never quite sure where that could lead a person to. And within that concept, it starts often with something very, very small, something apparently insignificant. But that apparently insignificant thing can grow and grow and grow. And since we're just a few days after the Aseres Hadibros, let's just have a little look at some fascinating aspects of the Aseres Hadibros, which we made mention when they were read to us, and which of course are so much part of our lives. Again, talking about Avodah Zorah, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Lo ishtachave lahem velo savdom, ki anoch Hashem lekecho, kel kanoi poiked ovon ovois albonim. And I visit the sins of the fathers onto the children. A very complicated area, because it would appear to this that as a result of the averas that the previous generation do, the children themselves could get punished. The problem is that there are a number of, if I can put it politely, another number of contradictions to this, because we've got a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse, which says, Lo yemusa ovos albonim, that actually you can't have punishments which are passed from generation to generation. And the Mefarshim discuss this in great detail. And the point is unfortunately, if children see parents behaving in a certain way, there's a great likelihood that the children are going to behave in a certain way. That's the reality of it. And once the parents have instilled into their children a certain lifestyle, the parents, of course, are going to get punished, but they will also cause the children to get punished because they were the ones who were mechanich them. Of course, if a person does tshuva, a person can change it. Not so easy, because once a process has begun, once a poison has entered into a person's psyche, into their soul, it's not so easy to get rid of it because it's been impacted upon it. But nevertheless, the avodah is there for all of us to do. I remember once hearing something very frightening from Rabbi Twersky, Professor Rabbi Dr. Twersky. I had the honor of having our Shabbos table. And if I remember correctly, he was very involved in alcoholics and helping people rehabilitate themselves. And he was talking about where does alcoholism begin? And then he went on to speak about, and by the way, where do kids begin getting involved in drugs? Now, it's a very complicated story, and there's no way you can say this is a club. But I remember one of the things he said to us was, when a child comes home from work, when a father comes home from work, and the child hears the mother saying, don't speak to your father until he's had a whiskey. Once he's had a whiskey, he's going to be fine. Or when he wakes up in the morning grumpy and you say, until he's had his coffee, once he's had his coffee, he's going to be all right. Until he's had his, don't talk to me, I've had my coffee. He says, Rabbi Twersky says, you don't realize what message you're giving to people around you. You're basically saying, I can't cope with life unless I have an additional help. So that additional help for one person is going to be a whiskey. And don't be surprised if a generation or two later that turns into other things that people hear. It's a very subtle, very sensitive point, and it's very dangerous. But the point is that it doesn't start from nowhere. In the Aseres Hadibros, we learnt in Lo Sachmad. Lo Sachmad, right? Lo Sachmad is, I have a feeling in my heart. I quite like what you've got. And then when I start trying to manipulate situations to get it, and I'm paying for it, I'm going to pay for it. Then we go on to the Issa of Lo Sachmed. The Chinuch and others speak about the fact, the Minchas and others, about when a person is over Lo Signov, they steal something. Is it just the Issa of Lo Signov, but maybe they also now realize the Lo Sachmed that they had, right? Lo Sachmed was the beginning of the process. And eventually, it finds itself in the journey of the Sigma. The Nozir noticed what was going on. The Nozir, the individual, saw out of all the people, he went along to look. Oiva Voili, he goes along to look. Sorech Ian, he has to be involved because he's got a bit of a problem. There's a Tam there, which if you don't watch yourself, that Tam can become Ikka. You're more likely, as a result of what you've been drawn to unfortunately, could be a generational thing, maybe even not you, but if you don't stop it now, we have no way of knowing where this is going to. Now's not the time to go into Jewish history, but if you see the works of the Chasam Sofer, it's very interesting. Of course, Chodesh Osim in HaTorah, but the principle was, there's what we have to deal with now, because we can see the reality, and you may think it's only a small thing, but the Chasam Sofer and many others had the ability to Reis HaNolad, small things grow. They grow in history, they grow in the Jewish community, and our job is to prevent them. And the Nozir takes upon himself the obligation to go on a journey of Naziris. And it's a 30-generation journey. It's a very difficult and complicated journey. Basically, he has an asocial existence. Right? He can't go to any L'chaims, or if he goes, he has to not involve. He looks a little bit disheveled as a result of it. And then he goes, and he's part of this interesting process of the korbanos which need to be brought, etc., etc. And then we come to the concept of bottle b'shishim that we mentioned right at the very, very beginning, which is in reference to the fact that foreleg that is given to the Kohen is cooked uniquely, that foreleg additionally, and it's cooked together with the other things and the various questions that arose. And we speak, the Gemara discusses the concept of bottle b'shishim with that. And I remember Rabbi Greenberg, this Shmuel Greenberg, as I mentioned, that I heard over 10 years ago, he says a very interesting thing. He says, hopefully, our hope is by the end of the Naziris, and the Cheshvan HaNefesh that he's done, and the realizations of the danger of where wine can take me, the dangers of immodest behavior where it can take me, and I was interested, I noticed it, I've got to do some tikkunim. Hopefully, by the end of 30 days, that will become bottle b'shishim, he says. That tithe that we had that you worked on, and it's not easy to work on it, that interest you had in your life that you worked on, will in Mitzvah Hashem slowly, slowly dissolve and become so small that it won't be able to impact on the entire being. A very deep and important concept in all concepts of character development. And having just come from the Aseres HaDibros and just come from Ma'avid HaSinai, we know and appreciate that the journey of keeping Torah mitzvahs is that we need to go on a constant journey with ourselves, not only to have the shmiras ha-mitzvahs, but to have the shmiras of the reality of ourselves. I have a final little anecdote which happened to me, I was involved in, about a gabba in a shul who was a regular gabba in the shul, and on Parshas Nosoi, he happened to, instead of getting shlishi or vi or chamishi, he got kohen, which is quite unusual. But, you know, Gaboim seems to pull things off. But the history behind this was a very interesting history. It was a Talmud who decided he was going to do some family research into the background of his family. He was originally from South Africa. And he went back to find his father's grave and to try and do some yichus research. He calls me from the cemetery. He says, Rabbi Kirsch, I've just found my father's grave. And above his, on the name, first of all, he's got two hands above on the matseva. And it says, so-and-so ben so, ha-kohen. He said to me, Rabbi Kirsch, does that mean I'm a kohen? I said, you know what, come out of the cemetery and we'll discuss it. We won't get into black plastic bags. We're not going to get into boxes. Just come out of the cemetery and we'll discuss it. Interesting enough. And when he came back to England, I remember we went to speak to Dino and to Zichron Avrocha. And it was very clear. What had happened was his father had lost his father when my friend's father was 2 years old. And he had a very sweet aunt who'd looked after and brought up. And she'd brought up this father of my pupil so well that he didn't know until old in life that actually it wasn't really his father, who it wasn't really his biological father and mother, but rather his father had passed away. And she was very sweet, but not very religious. And as a result of that, the Hakohen bit had been left out of bits and pieces. So I went to Diane Erentrow with the following question: this person wants to become a Kohen. can you do anything for us? So very interestingly, the first thing that Diane said to us was, are you sure you want me to prove that you're a Kohen? And because he pointed out, maybe your wife can't be married to you. And maybe you've got siblings who have got some issues. And interestingly, I had a brother who was going out at the time with a divorced girl, fascinatingly. And very interesting, Shia. And proving your Kohen is quite a complicated area, but we'll leave that for another. Anyway, he decided, no, I want to go through it. Baruch Hashem, his wife was suitable to marry him. And his brother was so excited about becoming a Kohen that he ditched this divorcee that he was dating at the time. And Baruch Hashem subsequently got married, and they lived, I think, happily, certainly until today. And in Parshas Nosoi, I'll never forget, that was the first week that he got his Aliyah L'Torah as Kohen. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha Baruch Hashem, which is also found in our Parsha. So a Nozir takes upon himself the obligations not to go to cemeteries. One of the explanations I explained was also any social interactions, even going to show care and love for another person, I hold back for, because unfortunately we realize that if a person doesn't learn to be sensitive in his very depth of in social interactions, who knows, chas v'shalom, if they have a netiyah, if they have a pararosh, who knows where it can lead to. Our bracha to everybody is that all of us should be willing to examine ourselves and make sure that we have no roots, and if there is a little bit of a tanki ikka, that we work on it to be bottle of a shishim. Thank you very much.
Shkaya, shkaya. Beautiful. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to